And once again, LA News Radio time is 8:29 a.m. And we've all been waiting for this next guest. Folks, don't not turn off your radio. Just stay with us right now. It's always great to have with us Roger Stone. He's been a regular with me on my program during the midday. Your Island with Tom Shalero. Roger comes on with us 12:30 to 2 o'clock and just takes time out from an extremely busy schedule. There is so much happening right now. We get the benefit of his vast experience. You heard Frank McKay just mention his name, saying one of the premier political analysts that are out there. He's got podcasts. He's got all sorts of ways in which to reach him, but he's out there in the media, and he takes time out from his busy schedule to be with us. Roger Stone, good to hear you so early in the morning, my friend.
Good morning. I'm not a morning guy, so this is a new development for me.
you even sound different in the morning. By the midday, you and I are just going at it. We're talking about so many different things, and there's so many things going on right now. We get a lot of phone calls in the midday program when we turn on the Your Island segment here on LA News Radio, and so many people are just so happy to hear from you. Again, you've almost been not just a student of history and a student of politics by observing, but you've been a key player on so many different things. So, and right now we're watching something unfold in 2024 that many of our listeners just have never seen before. A trial of a former president, a trial going on with a candidate for president. The fact that this guy just keeps getting up by his bootstraps and going out and campaigning during lunch breaks of court and receiving great accolades from people in Harlem and people on construction sites and so on. Give us some insight to this man. How does he put up? And of course, I'm talking about our former president, somebody who you know very well, who relies on you a lot for advice and so on. Give us some insight to how this man is not stressed out. I mean, I would have been gone by then. In fact, I get stressed when the light turns green. I mean, it's amazing. How does he do it? Roger Stone.
Well, Tom, I saw him for a little while Saturday night at Mar-a-Lago, his palatial place in Palm Beach. The guy's mood is just unbelievably good. Yeah. I mean, this would have destroyed a mortal man. He really is a man of steel. I mean, I worked for Richard Nixon. He was a very, very tough guy. I mean, he clawed his way back from political obscurity and defeat to the greatest comeback in American history. Then he fell, and he still came back. He's one of the most respected foreign policy experts, yes, in the country, served his country. I worked for Bob Dole. He got hit by a shell in Italy in World War II. They told him, you'll never walk again. You'll never use your hands again. You'll never feed yourself again. You'll never walk again. And of course, he overcame all of that adversity to be not only a great Senate majority leader, but he would have been a great president. But I have to tell you, Donald Trump is tougher than either one of them. The guy has an ability to compartmentalize what he's doing. He has an ability to focus that is unlike anybody else that I've ever met. He was in an extraordinarily good mood. He is he's upbeat. He is optimistic. He's a little angry, as he should be, because this case in New York is a fraud. The problem is that there is no case. The parallels between what they're doing to him in New York and what they did to me are just shocking. I now realize that my trial, in which I was falsely accused of lying under oath to Congress in my sworn voluntary testimony, I did say some things that were incorrect, but they were all immaterial. In other words, there was no Russian collusion. There was no WikiLeaks collaboration. The government didn't prove either one or any other crime. So they jam you up on these highly technical process crimes, in my case, to pressure me to testify against Donald Trump. But when I look at his trial and I look at mine, I see so many parallels. He's gagged, unconstitutional. So Michael Cohen or Stormy Daniels or Ari Melber, it doesn't matter, can trash Donald Trump, but Donald Trump's not allowed to defend himself. And we're told that that's fair. In fact, it's completely unconstitutional. They did the exact same thing to me, only in my case, Tom, they gagged not only me, they gagged every member of my family, which is, of course, highly unconstitutional since None of them were charged with a crime. Trump moved for a move a venue. He didn't get a fair trial in Manhattan, where 90% of the jury pool is going to be not just Democrats, but rabid Democrats.
Yeah.
We've already caught several members of the who have been selected for the trial lying about posting anti-Trump commentary on social media. Same thing you saw happen in my trial, where the jury forewoman said that she never heard of me, she wasn't too familiar with me, she really didn't follow the whole Russian thing. Turned out that she'd been attacking me and Donald Trump on her Twitter and Facebook pages for well over a year before the trial. But she had those vile settings in which she called us racists on a private setting.
Yeah.
So like Trump, I had hostile people on my jury. Believe me, there are partisan hostiles who say to the judge, oh, yes, I can be objective, but they can't be objective. They're there to sink Donald Trump. Trump moved to a change of judge, a recusal of the judge. I mean, this judge gave a campaign contribution to Joe Biden's campaign. That's a violation of the New York State canon of ethics for judges. Not supposed to do that. Against the rules. He also, as you probably know, has an adult daughter who's a Democrat fundraising consultant, whose client, Biden Harris, has made $95 million using this trial as the focal point of her fundraising solicitations. That's an egregious conflict of interest. So Juan Merchan should have recused himself. If he won't recuse himself, the appeals court should remove him. They won't. If Trump is convicted, that will be a major factor in the overturning of the conviction. But you see, Tom, they don't care if they win a faulty or unjust or rigged conviction. Even if they know it will be reversed on appeal, because that will be after the election. This whole thing is about election interference. It's really a monstrosity.
Well, it's election interference in the sense that it's kind of restricting him, but he just seems to be resilient. And by the way, I want to say what happened to you is one of the greatest injustices I have ever seen in many, many decades of watching criminal cases and so on, beyond belief. And so many people agree with me, particularly starting with that unbelievable FBI raid at your house. And I've mentioned this to you before. I've spoken to FBI agents about that, and they said they were bewildered. What the heck is going on here? And it's obviously that if you are Donald Trump or you are associated with Donald Trump, you have become almost a political enemy and what could be a banana republic here in the United States of America that people are not going to buy. We're not buying that. So again, people have taken to you and saying that this is something that we need to explore. And what's happening right now is amazing. What's happening in that Manhattan trial? I mean, the FEC was not interested in it. Even the state wasn't interested in any of this. It was Alvin Bragg who, wants to get a book deal out of this and wants to become the first person to indict a former president. Are they that altruistic to think that Donald Trump is a clear and present danger, that they're going to do this right in front of the American people like they did to you so that they could put it on in some sort of a political show? But in essence, it affects people's lives. You've spoken many times how it has affected your life and your family's life and so on. And this is something that I believe shows an American spirit inside the 45th president, where he goes out to Harlem and he gets a big crowd during a lunch break. And that, to me, is amazing. And you know the inside of all of that. There's something that drives this man that's absolutely incredible. I'm in awe of it, to be honest with you. Raj?
Well, it's important that people understand there is no crime here.
Yeah.
Alvin Bragg will ultimately, by the way, be disbarred. It will only be a matter of time. He's looking at years of disciplinary complaints, lawsuits, and so on, because there is no crime here. In other words, even if Donald Trump did what they accused him to do financially, this would be a civil case and a business records case. Bumping this up to a felony means there has to be some underlying crime. In other words, Trump would have to have made, or had somebody make on his behalf, false ledger entries to cover up a crime. But the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Southern District of New York examine this matter, they could not find that crime. The Federal Election Commission could not find that crime. They both conducted investigations. But, Tom, here's the irony. At trial, the judge has ruled that Donald Trump's lawyers cannot tell the jury this was investigated by these two federal agencies, and they both found no crime. They're prohibited from presenting that information. This is reminiscent of when the judge in my case would not let me use forensic evidence and expert testimony to prove that there had never had been any online hack of the Democratic National Committee. So therefore, it would be impossible for Russian hackers to pass information to me or to the Trump campaign, none of which, of course, ever happened. So this thing's, it's a lynching, is really what we're looking at. The president is incredibly stoic. I mean, yesterday, as I'm sure you saw, he showed up at the Formula One race in Miami. It was absolute pandemonium. I mean, pandemonium. But then after a great weekend, I saw him Saturday night at a birthday party for Congressman Ronnie Jackson of Texas, a former White House physician. He was in a great mood. He had a great weekend. But then late last night, he had to fly back to New York to be ready for trial this morning. This is about diverting his time, siphoning his time, siphoning his money for lawyers, getting him off the campaign trail, and of course, continuing to try to blacken his name, which I don't think is working very well. It's a travesty. I think you're going to have years and years of litigation over this. You're going to have formal complaints over this, judicial conduct complaints. It's so obviously political. It's ridiculous. And why did they need to import this guy Colangelo from the Biden Justice Department and Manhattan District Attorney's Office to prosecute this case? Is there no one in Alvin Bragg's immediate circle with the candle power or the experience to prosecute this case? Or is the case so convoluted, so ridiculous, we had to bring in this hot shot from D.C.? To try the case.
Hey, you know, Roger, you hit on precisely the point. That was my next. Why would this guy who worked higher up in the Justice Department decide that he's going to work for some lowly DA, although it's the Manhattan office, and prosecute this case? Because it's obvious to the people. There's a tie. And of course, you certainly well know this. And just like there's a tie with many of these cases. Why was Fannie Willis's boyfriend in the White House meeting with White House counsel when that was a local case? Why is that all going on? This is being orchestrated, and I am convinced of it as of right now. I can't say I was convinced right away. It took some time, but I was convinced of it. There is a movement within the Justice Department or within the DNC to work with the Justice Department to get rid of Donald Trump. And the American people, their eyes are open, and they have to be open here. I just received this on a text message. One of our my contributors on my program watches the polling, and he does an analysis of all the polling right now. Best case scenario in coming November is Donald Trump winning 345 electoral votes. I just got this now, and Joe Biden 193. If that's the case, they're doing everything they could to make sure that's a nightmare scenario for the other side, for the left, and we know that. But do you think that's possible, 345 electoral votes? I mean, from what we can see and hear, I don't know. Roger Stone, what do you say?
Well, it's terribly, terribly early. It's late and it's early. In politics, a week is a lifetime. Things can literally change overnight based on developments. Tom, with these people at the helm, you could have a world war tomorrow. They're flirting with world war in two different theaters, both in the Russian-Ukrainian conflict and now in this conflict in the Middle East. So anything is possible. By the way, would they start a war in order to try to get reelected? Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Because the people currently in power realize that they're guilty of treason, and there is no statute of limitation for treason. So they know that if Donald Trump is elected, the rule of law will return, and we will have actual prosecutions for actual provable crimes, not made-up crimes like the Russian collusion hoax, which never actually happened, but actual crimes like John Brennan, the CIA director, asking the British and the Australian and the New Zealand foreign intelligence agencies to spy on American citizens abroad, 26 of them, who happened to be friends of Donald Trump. I was one of them.
Yes, you were. Yeah.
Brennan should be prosecuted for this. James Comey lied 136 times before Congress. He wasn't charged with lying for Congress. But treason, there is no statute of limitations on. And there are people here who engaged in treasonous activity. And that can be proven in a courtroom. And that trial should be held in Mississippi or someplace outside of D.C. So these people know that there are consequences for election for their actions, that between 2016 and 2020, they broke the law in ways that are treasonous. These things don't expire. That's why they are so, apoplectic, so hysterical, because what they're trying on Trump is not working. He's getting stronger, not weaker. He's raising more money, not less money. His prospects of becoming president are greater rather than lesser. Their so-called documents case in Florida is falling apart before your very eyes. Once you got an honest judge and she started telling prosecutors, no, you can't hide all the evidence. You got to put all the evidence on the table. The whole thing looks like a setup. And Tom, you said it best. When Jack Smith and Colangelo and Fannie Wills in Georgia and Letitia James in New York and Alvin Bragg in New York and Nathan Wade in Georgia all go to the White House to meet with the White House General Counsel, all go to the Justice Department to meet with the Justice Department to coordinate their trials, that's called racketeering. Civil racketeering. Now, the sad part is the last time Trump brought an excellent racketeering lawsuit in Miami, laying out the entire Russian collusion hoax start to finish, John Podesta, Hillary Clinton, Barry Obama, Joe Biden, Andrew McCabe, Frank, John Brennan, James Comey. It was an excellent lawsuit. The judge, who was a Clinton appointee, dismissed the lawsuit, and then he sought to fine every lawyer who filed it with million-dollar sanctions bills. So you see, we have corrupt judges even here in Florida as well.
Yeah.
But you can see why Trump's lawyers would be hesitant to file a comprehensive civil RICO case. They could file it as a related case in Georgia. In Florida, but the system's broken, and you have no guarantee that you will get a judge who will give the case a fair hearing.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that people explain. I mean, all we want is fair. Now, that's what we want. And this, in no way, in any category, could one say that a justice system is being justice right now. That the statue that we all look at with the blindfold, it's not happening right now. It's being directed. It's being directed by a White House. It's being directed by political opposition. It makes us all sick. You see a Peter Navarro doing a press conference outside of jail, saying, "Well, I'm going in now one more time. I'm going in," and we see the CEO of the Trump Organization doing this. And yet Alvin Bragg, going back to the local, I mean, he'll let criminals out on the street. He won't even prosecute felons that are committing carjackings and things like that. All of this weighs upon the American people, and it's looking upon it. So when I see a poll that shows 345 electoral votes, I think it's people reacting to this. That's what I believe, and people reacting to what you're saying right now in a very positive way in order to bring us into fruition. We only got a minute or two left. How do you think this is? Do you think the Bragg case is going to result in a conviction? There's two attorneys on that jury, and I think if they have a little law background at least, they would have an understanding of what's taking place right now. They're not showing Donald Trump did anything here. I haven't seen any of that in the transcripts. Roger, what do you say?
I think it's too early to say. I mean, look, I think that there are missed opportunities. This fellow, Keith Davidson, who was the lawyer for Stormy Daniels, who made the arrangements with Michael Cohen, he was arrested in an FBI sting in the Hulk Hogan sex tape extortion matter. Mr. Davidson, you weren't prosecuted in that crime. Did they trade your testimony here today with non-prosecution in the Hulk Hogan sex tape extortion sting? He was never asked that question. By the way, the answer is yes. Yeah. So I do see some missed opportunities. But at the end of the day, Michael Cohen is a convicted liar. He's lied about me under oath. You notice they didn't call him as a witness at my trial because they know he's completely non-credible. I don't know how this is going to come out legally. I do know how it's going to come out politically. Yeah. Donald Trump is going to be seen by the American people as a martyr who is being tortured legally as a form of election interference because they fear his return to the White House.
All right, just well said. Once again, what a pleasure to have Roger Stone on. Roger, have any way for people to learn more about you? I know you have the Stone Zone and anything else going on.
Absolutely. You go to stonezone.com. It tells you everything you need to know. stonezone.com. You could get my latest show, The Stone Zone, which shows every day at 8 o'clock p.m. at Rumble. You can also go to 77 WABC every Sunday from 4 to 6. You can hear it right there, right in the area where you are at 770 on the AM dial where I do the Roger Stone Show. Had a great show this weekend. Alina Hapa, the president's attorney, was one of our guests. It was an excellent show. So I ask folks to tune in on Sundays, but go to stonezone.com. It costs nothing. It's zero to subscribe. And then we will keep you posted every week on what's going on.
Excellent. Once again, Roger Stone. Roger, thank you so much. And we'll talk to you again soon, my friend. Thank you.
Tom, great to be with you as always.